What an odd place to start, right in the middle of the argument about dirty hands, out of all things. You see, I have to confess, I have a little bit of OCD going on when it comes to clean hands. Or maybe if I'm to be really honest, I have a 2-year-old in the house. And she loves digging in the dirt. And then in the midst of her sensory play, or whatever else you want to call it, something feels funny in her mouth, so all of a sudden, before you know it, she sticks those muddy, sandy, dirty hands right in her mouth. And then, did I mention I have a 2-year-old in the house? Well, I'll tell you something about 2-year-olds. If a 2-year-old doesn't wash her hands, she may have just forgotten. Or there is another possibility here. She may have decided that even though mama and daddy think that her hand washing is important, she doesn't. And while she's at it, well, maybe she's tired of all the rules that mama and daddy are making. So who knows? Maybe not washing her hands in this case is less about forgetfulness and more about testing her mama and daddy's authority. And talking about authority, well, the same thing is happening this morning in Matthew. A group of some pious folk gets on Jesus' case because some of his disciples did not wash their hands before they stuffed their faces with some bread and fish. And we are a culture of drive-throughs, and a lot of people eat in the car on the go, not always having a chance to scrub their hands beforehand. So for us, this whole argument may seem a little silly or amusing at the best. But back then, hand washing was not necessarily a matter of hygiene. It was a matter of tradition, a ritual. And that day and age, someone's closeness to God and someone's holiness, they were directly dependent on following the correct ritual, step by step, to a T. So as you can see, this encounter is not just about washing your hands. It is about a certain tradition and the authority behind that tradition and just who in the world does Jesus think he is breaking this tradition of the elders, right? Still, don't you have a hard time relating to this? So let me try this a little differently, okay? Let's imagine. What if someone was to come here and started tinkering with our habits and traditions? Like, 10 o'clock worship doesn't really work. So why don't we worship at noon on Wednesday? What do you think? To me, that sounds like a pretty cool day to worship the Lord. Or maybe these pews. It's not like they're that comfortable, so why don't we remove some of these pews? Or when we have communion, instead of using challah bread, why don't we use Ritz crackers? And by the way, I may have said this to some of you, but I'm not a big fan of grape juice. So why don't we do apple juice instead? You see, when I was in Germany and worship in Germany, they used apple juice, so it's not something that I made up. Tastes a lot better, too. And you see, you think this is kind of funny, like she is just talking. That if Pastor David and I were to come here and really use those Ritz crackers and apple juice, don't tell me you would not try to run us out of here. Like those preachers, just who in the world do they think they are? Changing our traditions. And I'll be 100% honest with you. I hate when people mess with my comfort zone. I dislike when people change things on me the last minute. And, you know, I hear David talking there. He is probably agreeing to what I'm saying, but at least once in a while, like to say, but this is how I have always done it, so why should I change it now? Does that sound familiar? Thank you for admitting that. And I told you this when I preached my first sermon here back in July, that David likes to give me a hard time and likes to say, you know, Romy, you preach about change and you talk about change so much, but you should take some of your own advice here. Guess he knows me quite well. The thing is, if we want to follow Jesus, then this will demand some true examination of ourselves, some true examination of our thoughts, of our beliefs, of our intentions, you know, what we say and what we do. And I'm not really saying that 10 o'clock worship is our downfall. In fact, I like 10 o'clock. Don't do 9 o'clock, please. And I'm not really saying that these pews are of no use. You know, don't you dare getting rid of these pews. I like them too. I'm a very traditional kind of person, and this is a beautiful church. But what I'm saying, and I'm saying this from my own experience, that sometimes it is hard to live what we believe. And it's hard to speak not our truth, but God's truth. And it's hard to cling to not our agendas or our plans, but God's plan. And sometimes it's really hard to hear from people around us when they tell us that they see a disconnect between what we say and what we do. And that disconnect, that happens to the best of us. We're inspired by the words of Christ's good news on a Sunday morning, but then on Monday we're back to the same old routine and to the same old behavior and to the same old thinking, and I see it with myself. But when God calls us again and again in search of transformation, in search of change, and in the face of evil that we see on full display, we aren't called to seek the safety of what we know, but instead of what God desires us to know, and that is not hiding within our four comfortable walls. And when God calls us again and again to make God a priority, even in times when we are so pitted against each other, trapped in a vicious cycle of hatred, bigotry, and racism, forgetting to respond with love, forgetting to respond with care and compassion. And when God calls us again and again and over again to love God with our entire minds and hearts and strength and souls. And when God calls us to love our neighbor, those who need us, those around us, to love them just as much as we love ourselves. Beyond that, we can live our lives freely, you know, making of them what we want. But whatever we do or do not do, let's keep on loving God and loving our neighbor. But you see, at times we have a very specific understanding of how we want our neighbor to look or act. And we have a very specific understanding of how we want things to be or work out. And at times, we have a very specific understanding of how we want God to operate. And I'll be very honest with you, at times, I have a very concrete plan that I want God to follow and to act on. So, a while back when I read a story that I'm going to share with you in a minute, and I don't know who wrote it or I read it, but when I read it, I was like, wow, what a great reminder that I cannot expect God to follow my plan. And this story started something like this. Once upon a time, we captured God. And we put God in a box. And we put a beautiful velvet curtain around that box. And we set candles and flowers around that box. And then when that was done, we said to the outsiders, to those around us, come and see what we have. Come and see God. I let it sink in. The good news of God's kingdom is for all people in all places. Amen. That includes you, and that includes me, and that includes people around you and me. The good news of God's kingdom is for those who can relate to our traditions, but it's also for those who cannot relate to our traditions. It's for those whom we like, and it's for those whom we dislike. It's for those who we approve of, and it's also for those that we have a hard time approving of. So learning what it means to follow Jesus, it means to follow him. It means to follow Jesus even to those places and to those people that are not perfect, that are not acceptable or squeaky clean according to our standards. Because Jesus says it is not what we're exposed to. It is not what we have access to. It is not what we can or cannot afford that defiles us. And then he keeps on going, and finally he says, I care about what's inside. He cares about how we act and what we say and what we do and how we respond to others, how we respond to their situation, to their plight, to their pain. And this morning we heard it from Michael and Miss Norma, who were responding to these children who otherwise would go hungry. I'm grateful that this church, our church, is supporting that. Because Jesus cares about how we respond. And sometimes we may not know what to say or what to do or how to respond or how to change someone's plight and situation. But the good news here is that Jesus doesn't leave us hanging, and he helps us. And he helps us, inspires us with the Holy Spirit and helps us with our words and behaviors and our actions and the kingdom that he proclaims, you know, and that what he did on the cross and beyond his death and resurrection, you know, all of that is bringing about the cleansing, the purification of our hearts. And there's more good news. Don't you love good news? Yes. I love good news. You know, in those moments when we have had enough of this life and its pains, that we just cannot rely on that God we put in a box anymore. Then there's God, with a capital G, the real deal, greater and grander than whatever kind of image we've held of God. That day, when life happens, and we go through moments that threaten us, that threaten who we are, that threaten our comfort zone. That day when our lives fall apart and into pieces and we find ourselves defeated and depleted. That day when we come to that painful realization that we are not in control. Then there is God, with a capital G, the real deal, greater and grander than whatever kind of image we've had of God. And then there's God's work. And precisely because it's God's work, it's something we can trust. It's something we can hold on to. And what makes it a good news is that this God, our God, has not had enough of us. No matter how we may feel about ourselves or each other at any particular moment, this God, our God, has not had enough of us. And there's more. If we're to have any impact for God on the life of our community, even our small little bit of it, then, like Jesus, we have to give it our all. Not letting the little things sidetrack us or distract us from what really matters. And that's loving God and loving our neighbor. Because, and you may know this or you may not, but we're not the people we once were. We're not the church we once were. Jesus has changed us. And now Jesus is sending us off on a mission to change and to transform, starting right here outside of the church, or maybe right here inside of the church, and then going out, changing and transforming our relationships and relationships that we have with those in our community. And I don't know about you, but I'm really excited about this mission. Really excited about this work that we've been given. And I know Pastor David is too. I have not seen him this happy for a while. We are excited because together, you know, you and us, we can come to Jesus again and again and ask him, help us. Help us to make this part of who we are, part of our identity, part of what we're all about. So what do you say? Are you ready to join in?
Amen.
Amen. Thanks be to God.